What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Have you ever seen a man run to the moon? Or a grandma who's immune to physical pain? All around us, regular-looking people with incredible abilities have pushed themselves to the extremes. Ready to be awestruck and inspired? You should be, because I've rounded up some terrifically talented genius savants and burling brutes for your entertainment pleasure. This one's seriously gonna blow your mind as we look at some of the most dedicated individuals with superhuman skills that defy explanation.
You're listening to
Be Amazed.
Want to know my superhuman ability? My killer smile. These pearly whites have supernatural effects on the ladies. But Malaysian Velu Ratha Krishnan's teeth pull something way cooler than all the honeys. In 2003, his Goliath Nashers tugged two KTM commuter trains weighing an incredible 574,000 pounds. Wowzers. And here's me thinking he bit off more than he could chew. Still, how does a man pull nearly 600,000 pounds of carriage with nothing but his daring tentacles? Surely that's impossible. Well, you're not actually moving all that weight. That would be lifting. Instead, you only have to generate enough force to counter the rolling resistance in the tires. See, all tires squish a little beneath the weight of whatever they're rolling, and more squish means more resistance. Train wheels are super hard and have less than 1/10 of the resistance of car wheels, so are easier to pull. Does that make Velu's feat any less impressive? Heck no. Now I gotta be responsible and say don't try chomping your dad's Civic off the driveway, kiddos. These guys are pros. And good dentists don't come cheap. I'd sooner get me some turkey teeth than pay those prices. Every year, about 1.1 million people complete a marathon. That's about 0.01% of the world's population. For many, the 26.2-mile race is the peak of athletic achievement. But some insane folk like Giannis Kouros crave something a little more extreme. He completed his first marathon in 1977, and by just 1983, he'd run a remarkable 25 races. But Giannis wanted more, so he began to look towards ultra marathons. Yeah, those are a thing. His first ultra event was the Spartathlon, where runners follow the route of Pheidippides, an Athenian messenger who in 490 BC was said to have run from Athens to Sparta in a single day. Organizers expected the grueling 153-mile race would take roughly 27 hours for the winner to complete. Giannis cruised home in just 21 hours and 53 minutes. Whoa! He was so fast, organizers accused him of cheating. So he came back a year later and finished the race in 20 hours and 25 minutes. Holy smokes! If you think that's impressive, in 2005, at the grand old age of 49, he broke his own world record for the Cliff Young 6-day race, which he'd set a whopping 21 years earlier. Over the course of six grueling days, Giannis ran over 643 miles, far more than any of his competitors. Dang. When asked about the key to his success, he said, "When other people get tired, they stop. I don't. I take over my body with my mind. I tell it that it's not tired, and it listens." Sheesh. This guy's the real-life Forrest Gump. Only in the movie, Forrest ran a measly 15,000 miles in total. Ultra-running fanboys have calculated that now 67-year-old Giannis has totaled up enough miles to run to the moon. Pshh! Mind blown. How inspiring is that? You know, it kind of makes me want to don the old running shoes. But I'm so unfit, I get out of breath just tying my laces.
998, 999, 1,000!
Phew. Just getting my push-ups in for the day. I only do three, but I start counting from 998 to trick my muscles into thinking they've worked harder. One day I hope to be as tough as the Mikoshi bearers in Japan. These heroic hunks haul a portable Shinto shrine known as a Mikoshi across all sorts of terrain on long wooden poles held up by their shoulders. And that's no easy feat. Mikoshis can weigh upwards of an eye-watering 2,400 pounds, which is about the same as a Toyota Prius. Yikes! As you can imagine, carrying something the weight of a small car on your shoulders takes a huge physical strain on your body. Frequent bearers of the Mikoshi develop giant calluses known as Mikoshi Dako on their shoulders. Whoa, that's dedication. Rather than an undesirable deformity, Mikoshi Dako are a symbol of pride, showing the enduring efforts of these devoted citizens. And this isn't just in Japan. Every year in Naples during the Catholic Festa dei Gigli, giant obelisks are carried around on, you guessed it, more people's shoulders. Despite being over 80 feet tall and weighing a knee-buckling 5,500 pounds, they've got some crazy suspension. The men who carry the weight are known as kulatori, and just like the Mikoshi bearers, they develop huge calluses on their backs. The physical dedication shown towards their respective religions is truly inspiring. Tomorrow, I might start counting my push-ups from 997 just to work that little bit harder. If I went without snacks for longer than a day, I'd eat my own hair. But Prahlad Jani, an Indian monk, made the extraordinary claim that he'd lived without food or water for over a staggering 70 years. What? See, Jani practiced something called Breatharianism, a kind of fringe spirituality which preaches that the body can fully sustain itself from sunlight, air, and nothing else. Right. At the age of 12, Jani had a powerful spiritual experience and claimed that the goddess Amba provided him water which trickled down through a hole in his palate. Now, theoretically, the body can survive without food for up to a couple of months. But without water, you'll be a dried-up saltine cracker in the dirt after a mere week. However, Jani underwent testing on two separate occasions, the first time for 10 days and the second time for 15 days, and both times he stayed physically normal despite consuming absolutely nothing. The only surprising thing was his levels of leptin and ghrelin, two hormones that regulate appetite, which suggested Jani had an extreme adaptation to starvation and water restriction. Wait, so he was telling the truth? Well, no, at least not fully. Other breatharians have made similar claims and they've all been exposed as frauds. And some of the test conditions were dubious at best. Who's to say he wasn't ordering in and out on the sly? Ever heard the story of the three little pigs? You know, the big bad wolf blows their houses down? That's just a story, right? Surely no one's breath is actually that powerful. Step up, Brian Jackson. This sensational stuntman has become a bit of a cult figure for his exhilarating exhale. He blows hot water bottles up like party balloons. Still, that's not his coolest trick. In 2014, he huffed and he puffed and he blew 3,640 pounds of car 3 inches off the ground. He what? By blowing into a tube attached to an inflatable bag placed beneath the car, Brian exhaled with enough force to lift a flippin' vehicle. That's crazy. This guy could blow his wife a kiss from like 8 miles away. However, there are disadvantages to having such phenomenal blowing power. Many glass blowers develop large puffy cheeks as a result of their work. Because they spend so much time forcing air really hard through a tube, the buccinator muscles which pull back the mouth and hold the cheeks to the teeth get deformed. This causes big pockets of air to collect inside the cheeks. One of the most famous cases was trumpet player Dizzy Gillespie. Whilst learning his instrument, he never kept his cheeks tucked in. So when he played, his cheeks and neck would puff up to wild proportions. Whoa! It's cool, but it kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies. Honestly, I can fall asleep anywhere. In the supermarket, getting a haircut, heck, sometimes I can't even make it up the stairs. But for Nhoc Thai from Vietnam, a good night's sleep has been exceedingly hard to come by. After catching a fever as a young man, he claims to have not slept in over 60 years. Oh my Lanta, how is that possible? I pulled all-nighters in my college days and I felt horrific. After about 72 hours with no sleep, your brain will be so fried you'll hallucinate and hear things that aren't there. So is Nyok just totally tripping balls? No. Shockingly, he seems healthy. He spends his extra evening hours working on his farm or making rice wine, which he sells, making about a dollar a day. As for why this is happening to him, no one really knows. He's never seen a doctor about his condition and refused thousands of dollars from various TV networks to film his life. Is that a little sus? On the one hand, he could be hiding something, but if so, he's not cashing in on his lie. Then again, 60 years of no sleep might have made him a little grouchy, and he just doesn't want people poking around his biz. But the chances are Nyok's experiencing something called microsleep. It's a protective measure where our brain kinda goes offline for a few seconds at a time if we're too sleep deprived. We've all got that one friend who's a bit of a dum-dum. If you're thinking, not me, my friends are all smart. Bad news, it's you. But even my infinite wisdom has nothing on true geniuses like Daniel Tammet. This brainy Brit memorized the first 22,514 digits of pi in just 5 hours and 9 minutes. And he said it was easy. Crazy. See, Daniel has savant syndrome, where someone demonstrates abilities far in excess of what the average human is capable of. He suffered epileptic seizures as a young boy, after which he started showing extreme mental capabilities. Daniel doesn't see numbers as digits like you and me. Instead, in his mind, each number up to 10,000 has a unique color, shape, and texture. 117 is tall, lanky, and handsome. 289 is particularly ugly, and 1 is a flashing white light. That's fascinating. But what sets Daniel apart from other savants is that he can describe his thought processes. Usually, savants are mentally impaired and unable to communicate, but Daniel can clearly put into words exactly how he feels. And not just in English, he speaks 11 languages, including Estonian, Finnish, French, German, Lithuanian, Esperanto, Spanish, Romanian, Welsh, and Icelandic, which he learned in just a week. Man, I nearly flopped out of high school Spanish. The only thing I remember is, Hola, yo soy una grande perrito caliente, por favor. As I go through life, I often see people who act like they've taken one too many blows to the head. You know what I mean? Well, pro wrestler John Ferrero, also known as Gino Martino, doesn't have to worry about that. His skull is 2.3 times thicker than the average human. Whoa. At a whopping 16 millimeters thick, he can bonk his bonce off almost anything. He smashed cinder blocks, hammered in nails, and even set the world record for breaking 45 concrete slabs over his head by dropping multiple 16-pound bowling balls onto them from 10 feet above. That's oddly specific. John became aware of his colossal cranium as a teenager. After getting in a fight with his brother, he chased him around the house and accidentally charged through a solid oak door without any injury to himself. His mom must have been raging. But if you think your noggin is tougher than John's, I've got good news for you. He runs a headbutt competition and will pay anyone that can successfully knock him out $5,000. Whoa! Guess I better pack my bags, I'm going on vacation. Oh, I forgot to mention John is currently 11-0, undefeated. Wait, who am I again? Ugh. If you could have any superpower, what would you choose? Super speed? Super strength? Me? I want to time travel into the future by a week, then return so I can place bets on winning sports games. It's a genius ruse. Still, Russian native Natasha Demkina claims to have one of the coolest superpowers ever. X-ray vision. Awesome! More accurately, she can look inside the human body without any invasive surgery. When analyzing a woman who'd recently been in a car crash, Natasha was able to locate the woman's fractures and metal pins just by looking at her. Whoa! She also managed to detect an ulcer in a doctor's stomach. That's insane. Or is it? See, Natasha actually gets a lot wrong. In fact, some of her critics suggest she never detects the main problem. Instead, they say that the problem Natasha diagnoses is always different to the issue the patients originally came in for. Often, patients only focus on the comments she makes that are true and dismiss the false ones in the same way someone might approach a psychic reading. So, chances are it's all just luck. Darn. That would be a pretty cool power though, right? I could finally figure it out if my dog ate my TV remote.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The rumors are true. I'm pretty tough. I do tough guy stuff like roll my t-shirt sleeves up and fight bears. Sure, they're teddy bears, but there were four of them. Yeah. Even so, I'm never going to be as tough as my hero. She might be the toughest person who's ever lived. This is Joanne Cameron. Now hold on, I know what you're thinking. This is just a sweet old lady. And you're right. But Joanne's superpower makes her one of the most remarkable people to ever live. She's almost completely immune to pain. Whoa. Due to a mutation in the FAAH and FAAHOUT genes, which establish internal pathways for pain and anxiety, the activity levels of the enzymes which communicate these feelings are significantly reduced. Now, you'd think Jo would be in the know about her super mutation, but she had no idea she was special until the grand old age of 65. After having surgery on her hand, doctors warned she'd experience some moderate pain. But the Grand of Steel woke up absolutely fine. Hold on. Remember earlier when I said it was the system controlling pain and anxiety? Well, Joanne doesn't really get emotional pain either. She doesn't feel anxious or afraid, doesn't get adrenaline, and never gets depressed or stressed. She's just a super chill, upbeat, and happy lady. I can't help but think she's missed out on a very lucrative career as a stunt woman. Water, air, earth. Long ago, the four nations lived together in harmony. Then everything changed when unlikely avatar Professor Norman Gary mastered a controversial new fifth element. Bees. From henceforth, he was known as the Last Bee Bender. Well, at least that's what I'm going to call him. Okay, so Avatar Gary's army of bees can't protect us from the Fire Nation, but he does some unbelievable stuff. I know. Listen, though, he can coax a swarm of 100,000 of the fuzzy little fellas all over his body without getting stung once. Pretty cool. See, bees only get aggressive if you threaten their hives, but that's not all. He can also command a swarm of 1 million bees to follow him wherever he goes. What? How? Basically, Avatar Gary has two methods. The first is a food reward system. If bees successfully follow instructions, they're rewarded with a special sugar solution flavored with plant extracts. The second involves creating a formula of powerful queen bee pheromone, which makes bees irresistibly attracted to the wearer. Hubba hubba. I'd choose snacks over Queenie's naughty water any day, but I'm prudish. Although Avatar Gary doesn't get stung anymore, he estimates he's been stung in eye-watering 75,000 times over his bee-bending career. Ouchie. Ain't no amount of lotion gonna make that hurt less. Us humans are a competitive bunch. We always try to come out on top. Whether that's toe wrestling, extreme ironing, or perhaps weirdest of all, competitive sauna. Entrants must sit in a 230 degree Fahrenheit sauna for as long as their bodies can physically take being steamed like a restaurant lobster. Every 30 seconds, more water is added to a coal stove in the room, which evaporates and makes it hotter and hotter. The last person to walk out is the winner. Sounds like fun, right? No, it sounds like the stupidest competition I've ever heard in my life. But hey, some people like baseball. All great sports need great champions, and in the world of sauna, that's Finland's Timo Kalkinen. Who's the greatest, sauna-er ever? In the 11-year history of the championship, he's won a shocking 5 times and holds the record for longest sauna with an outrageous time of 16 minutes and 15 seconds. What's his trick? Well, nothing. Just sheer dumb will. He's not immune to heat, just very, very tolerant to high temperatures. After his last event in 2010, however, 70% of his skin was damaged, as were his lungs and respiratory system, and he was placed into a coma for 6 weeks. Cripes. Why would you do that to yourself? Though Timo luckily survived, not everyone was so fortunate. A tragic fatality at the event led to competitive sauna being justifiably canceled, meaning Timo's record is now untouchable. But why do you want to try is beyond me. So that's the king of hot, but what about the king of cool? Well, apart from me, the undisputed chili champ is famous Dutch extreme athlete Wim Hof. He's broken countless records for cold exposure. Running a half marathon in the snow wearing nothing but shorts? Check. Sitting in an ice bath for nearly 2 hours? Check. Oh, how about swimming in freezing water beneath a layer of ice for over 200 feet? You're goddamn right. See, Wim Hof came up with a special breathing technique he imaginatively called the Wim Hof Method. A combination of relaxation and deep breathing saturates his blood with oxygen and releases feel-good chemicals like dopamine into the body. These can make seriously cold temperatures go from feeling uncomfortable to practically euphoric. Along with daily exposure to the cold, Wim Hof has trained himself to be able to withstand and even thrive in extreme temperatures. Awesome. But not for me. I get my euphoric response from sitting under a blanket. I can't look at my phone for 1 minute without being bombarded with images of muscular men and strapping señoritas. Oh my. But flexing in the gym mirror is so last year. Want to know what real strong people do? Look no further than John Holtum. He was born in Denmark in 1845, but it wasn't until the 1870s he'd perfected his act of being shot at by a cannon. Excuse me? Oh yeah, you heard. His assistant would load a cannon with a 50-pound ball on one side of the stage and light it. After a deafening explosion, the ball would fire towards Holtum, who stood on the other side of the stage wearing just a chest pad and gloves. Now I can't be sure, but I'm gonna say he had pants on too. It'd be an odd time to Winnie the Pooh it, and a cannonball is gonna make anything look small. Anyway, old John would then go and catch the ball. Though even with gloves on, he still had to immediately throw it to the ground because it was so searingly hot. Ha ha ha! You wouldn't want to hurt yourself after being shot at by a freaking cannon now, would you? Unsurprisingly, a minor mishap whilst learning the skill left Holtum a few fingers lighter on one hand. However, he wasn't deterred. In fact, in his day, he was something of a celebrity, and his death-defying antics made him quite popular with the ladies. In fact, many of his female fans were so worried their hunko Holtum would injure himself that they grouped together to try and ban his performance. John, you dog. Now, was there trickery at play? Possibly. But John offered a hearty 3,000 francs, over $19,000 today, to anyone who performed a similar trick, and no one was brave enough to try. Can you blame them? Even $100,000 wouldn't be enough money for me to look like a bagel. When I was a boy, I dreamed of running off with the circus. But my dad said, "We've already got a bearded lady at your grandma's house." Rude. Still, Gram has nothing on Haji Ali. This mysterious vaudeville performance artist is believed to have come from Egypt, but we can't be sure. His act was much more impressive than growing a beard, though. It revolved around swallowing objects and then regurgitating them all back up in whatever order he pleased. There's no trick here, it's just repeated training of the stomach and throat muscles to clench at will. But for this young hustler, it was a chance to tour the world. He trained himself to regurgitate anything and everything from live goldfish to watches, coins, stones, and even pool balls. I wouldn't want to go to his birthday cookout. Although he never gained widestream success, Ali did achieve an altogether different widestream. His piece de resistance involved chugging water followed by a load of flammable kerosene and then acting as a kind of human flamethrower come fire extinguisher as he vomited fire onto a stage prop. That's insane. I wouldn't want front row seats to this vaudevillian volcano. I'd be scared about losing my eyebrows. Let's face it, we all want to be remembered for being good people, but some wangle their names into the history books for being downright weird. Take Joseph Pujol. Shortly after he graduated high school, he discovered a rather remarkable bodily function. While swimming in the sea, he held his breath and stuck his head below the surface when he noticed a rather, before and feeling. Icy cold seawater was flooding into his derriere. Pujol had discovered that by controlling his abdominal muscles, he could suck in through his, well, let's just say exit hole, and control the release coming back out again. That's the worst superhero origin story I've ever heard. But Pujol's parpy party trick somehow took him to the heights of the Moulin Rouge in Paris in the 1890s, where he took to the stage as Le Petoman, or the Fartomaniac. His fabulous flatulencies included playing an ocarina through a tube inserted into his, and blowing out a candle from several yards. You want to see him in action? Imagine taking the stage after that guy. Well, here's the thing. It's not digestive gas, it's just air, so there's no smell. That's why he could extinguish the candle without any fear of becoming a farting flamethrower. But alas, Pujol's tooting days didn't last forever. After the breakout of World War I, he retired his act and opened a biscuit factory in Toulon. No shot, this guy switched from air biscuits to real ones. Ha! That's the way the cookie crumbles. We've spoken about some incredible circus performers, but none of them could scratch Mirandajo. Literally. This Dutch performer had a bizarre spiritual awakening at the age of 33 and professed his body was totally invulnerable. He was able to take a rapier, a very long thin sword, and essentially turn himself into a big old human kebab. And not a nice kebab either. We're talking all heart, lung, and kidney, no peppers, if you catch my drift. Doctors were flummoxed by this and repeatedly ran tests on him to try and understand how he was even alive. One time, Daho demonstrated his death-defying trick, then walked all the way through the hospital to the x-ray theater without an issue. What? The x-ray results came back and showed that although the sword was there, he suffered no injuries. Huh. Once it was removed, apart from the tiniest mark on his skin, Daho was fine. Wild. Truthfully, no one knows how Daho was able to perform this trick. He'd spent time in India with fakirs, a kind of mystic who performed similar, feats on themselves, but none of them achieved anything near this scale. Daho's accomplishments defy the laws of nature. Not content with being a human pincushion, Daho continued to push weirder and more ambitious boundaries, one of which proved tragically fatal. This won't come as a surprise, but Daho was a little loopy. Like even more than you'd expect from someone who pokes holes in themselves. On May 11th, 1948, he alleged voices in his head told him to eat a steel needle. Oh boy. Surgeons in Zurich removed it 2 days later and kept Daho in hospital to monitor him while he recovered. Then when he was released, he proved his good health by strolling around Zurich like nothing happened. Incredible. So he got away with it then? Well, no. Only 10 days later, he was laying in bed when he slipped into a strange, trance-like state. Another 2 days later, he passed from an aortic rupture. His heart had mysteriously torn apart. Daho's career had lasted just 3 years, but his stunts and his demise still have people scratching their heads today. Whoa, what a crazy guy. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll see you again next time you want to be amazed.